Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to BizNews Daybreak. I'm Asime Nite. It's Friday, the 21st of August, and today's show is about consequences. The consequences of corporate fraud, the consequences of bold business decisions, and later, the personal cost and resilience behind one of South Africa's greatest sporting careers. We begin with BNC9 in the Drakensberg, where Bernard Mostert sat down with Alec Hogg for a remarkable fireside chat on Steinhoff, Tekkie Town, Marcus Yuster, and the questions that still remain unanswered. More BNC9 conversations will be coming to the BizNews YouTube channel, so please subscribe and keep an eye out for those full interviews. 10 years ago, Bernard Mostert and Bram van Haestien sold Tekkie Town into Steinhoff in a 3.2 billion rand deal. Within 18 months, those shares were worth almost nothing. In this clip, Mostert shares previously unseen WhatsApps from Marcus Yuster as the Steinhoff scandal was breaking, and reflects on Bram's extraordinary response to the man who had helped destroy so much value.
So Bram asked him, where is he? And he says, are you in Woolly Point? Marcus said, by the way, where did you think you are? Because at that stage, some people thought that he had fled the country. So there was a theory that it was Argentina or whatever, but he had now disappeared off the radar. Obviously didn't pitch up for the day that he had to face the auditors. That was when his resignation came through. And then I can't read the green from here with my glasses.
So. Donkey, and he said, Donkey Bram, ek het sy genade nodig.
Okay, so that he says, I need God's grace.
And then Bram responds, he says, bel my asseblief, sterkte, die Here is lief vir jou.
Bram says, please call me and God, oh, Jesus loves you.
Baie dankie, says Marcus, ek moet nou my familie gaan face, ek bel jou later.
Okay, so at this stage, he obviously hasn't even seen his family, so he needs to go tell his family that what's happening.
And so Bram gets back to him and says, nee, moet asseblief nie verskoning maak nie. Ek weet toevallig waar jy is. Ek is naby jou. Ek en die manne is fine.
So Bram says, don't worry about me and my men. And that turned out to be a very true assessment because we did turn out to be fine.
Kan ek na jou toe kom net om vir jou te sê, ek gee nie moer om, that's a bad word, you don't have to say that, om wat jy verkeerd gedoen het nie, ek wil deur dik en dun jou vriend wees.
Yeah, so, I don't give a what you did, please can I come see you, I don't care what you did, and I want to be your friend through thick and thin. And that goes a little bit to our loyalty conversation of earlier.
From one corporate story where value was destroyed to another where value was created on a scale almost nobody could have imagined. At BNC9, Hans Harvinkels told the story behind Naspers' famous Tencent investment. It began as a $33 million bet on a loss-making Chinese chat app called QQ. Today, that deal is regarded as one of the greatest investments in business history. But Harvinkels' own ending was more complicated. A year after helping land the deal, his contract was not renewed.
They took comfort from the fact that I could help them, and they were willing to accept us as partners. But I then had the challenge to try and convince the Hong Kong guys, PCCW, to sell their shares to me. Now, PCCW was owned by a guy called Richard Lee, and he was a son of Lee Kai-shing, the wealthiest Hong Kong fellow, and extremely arrogant. very difficult to deal with. And equally so was his M&A guy, Mika Chung. I remember him clearly. It was a very tough negotiation because I would meet with the PCCW team and we would talk through, you know, why do I want to buy this company, which they can't see any opportunity for? I said, look, you know, if I had a game plan, I wouldn't tell you anyway. But we see something there we'd like to buy. But it took me about 3 months of discussions and toing and froing to try and get this 25% share. Clearly, I'd briefed, of course, an executive in the meantime. But one fine day, I get the phone call from Mika Chung, the M&A guy. And he said to me, Hans, and he used different words, but anyway, he said, Hans, we'll sell our shares to you. The valuation of the company will be $66 million. I'm giving you no time to do any due diligence. Take it or leave it. In other words, I had to pay as Naspers $33 million for a 50% share, buying out PCCW share as well as the IDG Ventures share. Put the phone down, I found Chris. This is the story. So we've done our homework, obviously. We've done some prep. The bottom line is, after a long discussion with the Naspers executive, most of them weren't in favor of the deal. Reason being that all the other opportunities that I'd invested in China and Asia weren't any realizing any benefit. We'd spent about $60-70 million. We had just gone through the dot-com crash. We had tried to go on to, we were listed on NASDAQ as MIH. We were looking to raise money and it didn't work out too well. So money was short. So this opportunity came actually at a very wrong time. But at the end of the day, long story short, Kurs backed the deal. Steve Pasak, who was our finance guy, was told to go to Absa Bank to borrow the $33 million from Donny Cornier. And Kurs backed it. Steve got the money. We did the deal.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
And from business legacy, we turn to sporting legacy. Chad Leclos has already given South Africa one of its great Olympic moments. And this year, he added another milestone by becoming the most decorated athlete in Commonwealth Games history. But he is not finished yet. Speaking to BizNews, Chad looked ahead to Los Angeles 2028, what he calls his last dance, while his father, Bert, reflected what that final Olympic push means for the family.
So, LA 2008, that's what you're swimming for
Let's
now.
Let's go. I think it's an exciting time, Linda. I think not only for myself, but for South African swimming, we've got an unbelievable team coming through the ranks, but our focus is absolutely on the next Olympics. We have the short course world championships in Beijing this year, in December the 1st, and the next year, I think the long course champs is in Budapest, before, of course, a big, let's call it the final dance, last dance for me in LA. But just feeling very, very excited, very motivated by I can say what I did this week because I'm very proud of it, you know. Even the underfly where I got fifth individually, a couple of 10 silver medals, racing four of the top 10 in the world from 2025. So it feels good to know that I can still compete at the highest level. And this is only off 14 weeks of training. So I want to give a huge shout out to my coach, Delon Danhauser, for everything he's done. And my team at the Virgin Active Chad Leclos Academy, you know, all the coaches around the country. So a huge thank you to all of them.
And Bert, I just laughed because in the interview, you called him a pensioner. Were you just winding him up?
No, but he is a pensioner in the game. You know, he's a pensioner. And makes that tough. And you know what? And he's taking it in a very mature way. You know, if you have a look at sportsmen, and this is for all the parents and sports people out there, and you can have a look at history, and there's some huge, I don't need to mention names, especially on this format, on this system here, because there's a lot of people. I remember years ago when one or two of these Australian swimmers that retired, they tried to commit suicide. So you have to look at life, like he says, in the way, be happy with your career, wherever it went or didn't go, and going forward so that you don't have too many regrets. You always have regrets, but not too many. You know, he's looking at the positives in his life. And this is the last dance. And you know what? That's all you could ever wish for your athlete or for your coach or for your son or your child or whatever it is. That is a really and true, not because he's sitting here. That's the best for a father, the best way I can see my son finishing his career, irrespective of medals. Whatever he's achieved, he's achieved.
And finally, we turn to the markets. Reuters gives us the latest from Wall Street, where investors are watching earnings, interest rates, and the broader mood around the U.S. economy.
Wall Street's main indexes closed lower on Thursday, with the Dow tumbling about 1.3%, the S&P 500 falling just under 1%, and the Nasdaq shedding 1%. Rising Treasury yields dented risk appetite, explains Chatham Financial Chairman Amol Dargalkar.
The sell-off we're seeing is, again, it's related to what we're seeing in the bond market. This concern over rising yields, this concern over fiscal sustainability for the U.S. government, it is bleeding into equity markets. When you compare the two, though, it's clear that even though today there's some correlation, over the last several months, we've seen all-time highs in equity markets. It's been driven by, you know, higher earnings expectations. It's been driven by the AI trade. And even though it's a bifurcated equity market, you're seeing, I would say, a somewhat broad-based growth over the last several months, as you look at different indices.
Still, shares of Walmart fell more than 9% after the retail bellwether missed Wall Street expectations for quarterly comparable sales, as rising gasoline prices had shoppers reining in spending. Rival retailers Costco, Dollar Tree, and Albertsons followed Walmart lower. Shares of Coty dropped more than 9% after the CoverGirl cosmetics brand owner forecast current quarter earnings below expectations and withheld its annual outlook. And shares of Advance Auto Parts tumbled more than 24% after the company issued a weaker annual sales forecast. Meanwhile, cryptocurrency-related companies rallied a day after President Donald Trump called on Congress to pass a crypto bill. Shares of Strategy and exchange operator Coinbase Global each gained almost 8%.
And that's your BizNews Daybreak for today. For the full interviews and more highlights from BNC9, please subscribe to the BizNews TV YouTube channel and keep checking biznews.com. I'm Asimen Yite. Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And I hope you all have a wonderful day. Cheers.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.